So I'm going to start off the message today with a quote. And I mean, it's not so much audience participation, but some of you may find yourself rehearsing this in your head with me. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. For all, and all for the want of a horseshoe nail. So that's a quote by Benjamin Franklin. I don't know if any of you have specific experience with this, but I've taken some courses having to do with lean manufacturing, otherwise known, you know, and also Six Sigma. It's basically efficiency in manufacturing. It's somewhere between a philosophy and a technique for troubleshooting, process improvement, just trying to make overall efficiency and quality better in a manufacturing setting. There's a specific protocol called Five Whys. And Benjamin Franklin's quote far predates Five Whys, but interestingly fits it perfectly and really explains what Five Whys is. Whenever you have a problem, ask yourself why five times. So the kingdom was lost. Why? There's one time. It's because the battle was lost. Why? Ask it again. It's because the rider. Then you work your way back. By the time you've done it five times, you've pretty much gotten to the base of the problem, and you know where to start making corrections. So keep this context in mind and maybe table it. This past week, I listened to some radio while I'm working, and I ended up with hearing a study in the news. Maybe some of you heard of it. It's called PRRI. It's this entity. It goes by the acronym PRRI. It stands for Public Religion Research Institute. They conducted a study and found that 28% of Gen Z, which means you were born between 1997 and 2012. 28% of these individuals self-identify on what I call the sexual delusion spectrum. Some of you may know that it by other terms. They call it the LGBTQ, and then however many acronyms they feel like adding on there too. It's the same crowd that is taking God's rainbow that he gave to man as a promise not to flood them, wipe them off the face of the earth for doing the exact sort of things that this group stands for. Now, when I read this study, 28%, that's a little bit mind-blowing. I also consider the source. This specific entity is not particularly conservative. So you can look at some of the other material they put out, and they're certainly spinning. Who knows how they're conducting and whatnot. But it still is a shocking number, and it makes me sit up and take note. Kind of reminds me of the time that, in the name of fiscally conservative, but socially liberal, a movement that basically people on the right tried to push in the direction of for the name of just basically being accepted. Or we're going to lose this battle, let's just focus on winning here so that we don't lose out altogether. Anyway, it's a losing battle. It's a compromise, and it's a compromise that God warns us against. And when I hear this news, I feel like the battle for Christian morals is all but lost in this country. There's a familiar sentiment stating that though we have lost the battle, we can yet win the war. And then we come to what seems to be the crux of the matter, in my opinion, here as a church. And perhaps what I would say the Achilles heel of when you mix our finite minds with what you and I know of our God and his plan for salvation, we know that he will win the war. And if we know that our side will win the war, then why would we bother with worrying about the battles. Just keep our head down, make sure we stay on God's side, right? Seems like a foolproof plan until we read stuff like the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, where the servant hid what was entrusted to him in the ground, and upon the master's return, returned the stuff to his master with no interest, no improvement, to whom the master replied, "As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So it seems like just putting our heads down maybe isn't the best solution. God's calling us to be soldiers for battle, to fight for his truth and the gospel of hope as we would fight for our lives. And it's not just about being on the winning team. It's about doing what is good, what is right. This kind of calling demands conviction. It demands faith. It demands love for God's truth and love above anything. I used to be a patron of a local business that was run by a World War II vet. And he built his public image around this freedom, liberty, sacrifice, patriotism. Posters of friends of his that he lost in the war on the wall. And the thing that struck me about this was when COVID hit, and then you have these, what I would say, laughably illogical rules of social interaction were handed down from authorities of one level or another. it immediately became law within his walls, which is his business, it's his prerogative. But I've not set foot inside his door since he did this stuff, because his service that he's built so much of his reputation on appears to be, in this context, just because he was required to serve and he was on the winning team. And I feel like that's something that we have to caution ourselves against. When I walked out of his doors, I've not been back, because in my opinion, he's the type of patriot that makes patriots have a bad name. I firmly believe that if you and I are just taking up space on God's side of the line because we want to be a winner, then on one hand, we aren't actually on his side at all. On the other hand, we are in danger of being the type of Christian that gives Christians a bad name, which of course has many other consequences that's outside of this message. A scripture I'd like to turn to is 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. This is in some ways a call to arm for us. It goes, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. Resist him steadfast in faith." It has to be about faith and convictions, and we have to be ready to fight. We have other passages like Ephesians 6 and verse 10. You're all familiar. This was a memory verse for me as a kid, to the point where we had a homeschool event where we all had our sword of truth and our breastplate of righteousness, and me and my brothers are up there making a good show of it. "Finally, my brethren," starting in verse 10, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, but put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." What Paul is describing here is the armor of a soldier that is outfitted to take the battle to the adversary. not just to protect himself. Likewise, you and I are called not just to guard our own chance at salvation, but to shine our light, share our hope, spread God's love and plan of salvation, and thereby undermining and even possibly thwarting Satan's efforts to lead others to darkness and the despair that accompanies wickedness. In conclusion, at the beginning of this message, I introduced the concept called five whys and how it helps to solve a problem of why the kingdom fell. Goodness and morality have fallen all around us. And while we all know a five why analysis will lead to Satan as the source of this problem every time, I think we would be negligent to not go through this exercise when something so significant as a significant portion of our population has now diverted onto this destructive path. Ask ourselves what we could be doing differently, what we could have done, and what we could do in the future to be a shining light for good in this world of ever-thickening and often overwhelming darkness. The interesting thing about the earlier passage from Ephesians about the whole armor of God is that, as memorable as that passage is, everybody stops after verse 17. If we continue in verse 18, it reads, "Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth and boldly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So let our prayer be daily, you and I, that we are given the strength and wisdom to open our mouths and speak boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. For we are all ambassadors in chains, that in it we may speak boldly as we ought to speak.